Blog Talk Radio.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the shine. Bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto God is born, he shall reign forevermore. No.
Devotion, Holy Name of Jesus, preparing for December 25th. Are you ready? Well, today is December the 1st, 2022, and today for the stories, we're doing the stories of Saint Viviana and Blessed Raphael Zelinsky, and for a bonus, Saint Boniface and the Christmas tree tradition. And so, let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O good Jesus, according to your great mercy, have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. O most merciful Jesus, by that precious blood which you did will to suffer, to shed for sinners, I beseech you to wash away all my iniquities and to look graciously upon me, a poor and unworthy sinner, as I call upon your holy name. Therefore, O Jesus, do thou save me for your holy name's sake. O God, who did appoint your only begotten Son to be the Savior of mankind, and did command his name to be called Jesus, mercifully grant that we may enjoy the vision of him in heaven, whose holy name we venerate here on earth, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the Mass said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home, and within my family. Amen. And Heavenly Father, in union with the merits of Jesus and Mary, I offer you, for the sake of the poor souls, all the satisfactory value of my works during life, as well as all that will be done for me after death. I give you my all through the hands of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, that she may set free whatever soul she pleases according to her heavenly wisdom and mother's love for them. Receive this offering, O God, and grant me in return an increase in your grace. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Excuse me.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And the Saint Viviana story. Today, we are living in very tough times. The economic chaos is being felt just about everywhere. The richer seem to be getting richer, and the middle class seems to be dwindling. Excuse me. But more than all that, our nation is losing its way. Despite the vast technological advances, it seems like we are spiritually heading for another dark age. We are seeing much violence everywhere. On the street, there is a new game where young men go about trying to knock out unsuspecting victims with one punch. And we was watching the news last night, and this one guy downtown, right there in broad daylight, come back, went and shot this guy in the back of the head with no provocation. He just did it. Evil. And this is the tip of the iceberg. Our Christian foundations are being threatened by our own government. The secular humanist movement, the progressives, have effectively taken over the higher places of learning in our institutions, our judicial system, and our political will. This is leading to a serious shortage of common sense. We are now seeing marriage being redefined for the acceptance of the gay agenda. Christians are being watched closely by the IRS and other government institutions to keep the faith at bay. In the Middle East, there is terrible persecution, and our government is deathly silent. Pope John the 23rd instituted the Feast of Christ the King, which we celebrated on 30th of, well, you know, the end of, you know, November, which now is, we're in the season of Advent. But the Feast of Christ the King to remind modern man that no matter how far advanced mankind moves forward technologically, Jesus is still King of all creation. That is a great reminder, but who is really listening yet besides the church. And on December the 2nd, the church remembers St. Viviana, virgin and martyr, and we're remembering her today. St. Viviana was the daughter of a Roman knight growing up with nobility. She was raised in the upper class in her time. Her parents, Flavian and his wife, Defosa, were active in the faith, and all seemed to be going well until about 363 AD when Roman Emperor Justin the Apostate made Apronasius governor of Rome. The Roman Emperor was wanting to revert back into the paganism of the past Roman emperors. That is why he is called Julian the Apostate. And he appointed people to rule that would carry out his agenda. And consider President Biden and his many appointments throughout his administration. The spiritual condition of our country is not much unlike that of 363 AD, when the persecution against Christians picked back up for a short period of time. We see the attack coming from Facebook and all our traditions being uprooted for a secular state. Flavian, St. Viviana's father, as a knight, was a valiant, loyal patriot serving his family and country, much like many of us have done in the United States military today. Because of his Catholic faith, he was exiled and placed under extreme torture because he would not renounce his faith. His beloved wife, Demetria, was beheaded, leaving both their daughters destitute. St. Viviana and her sister, Demetria, lost all the comforts of nobility and placed in poverty. Because of the rich foundation of their Catholic faith, they filled their time with fasting and prayer. If I didn't know much about Flavian and Demetria, I have grown in my respect and admiration for them by the way their children carried themselves after their martyrdom. Remember Julian the Apostate's appointment to governor of Rome, Apronius. Demetria, St. Bibiana's sister was brought to the governor, where she was put to death right at his feet. She would not renounce her Catholic faith. Saint Bibiana, excuse me. Saint Bibiana lost both her parents and her sister because they would not renounce their Catholic faith to these tyrants. Excuse me. Apronius placed Saint Bibiana in a house of prostitution in the hands of a wicked woman called Rufina, who was unsuccessful in breaking Saint Bibiana. Rufina tried to seduce Saint Bibiana through beatings and argument, but to no avail. For the love of Jesus and Mary, whom Saint Bibiana would not renounce, Apronius ordered Saint Bibiana to be tied between pillars and terribly scourged. Excuse me. Terribly scourged until she died. Because of her saintly demeanor, she had a great impact on her executioners. Her body was left for the wild animals, but after 2 days, nothing touched her. She was then subsequently buried. This tragic story shows great strength and endurance and is a great reminder for us today how important it is for us to stand up for the faith. St. Jude writes, "Beloved, although I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I now feel a need to write to encourage you to contend for the faith that was once for all handed down to the Holy Ones." Saint Bibiana and her family valiantly contended for the faith with their very lives. They are now part of that great cloud of witnesses who did persevere in running the race that lies ahead for all of us who are faithful. My heart was deeply touched in remembering the sacrifices made by Saint Bibiana and her family, who represents many of that time, and suffered greatly for their faith in Jesus and his Catholic Church. We are living again in strange times today. I am reminded of the fallen Catholic I met recently at Texas A&M, who declared himself an atheist. He was president of the student body, and he is representing many today who are like Julian the Apostate. They are turning away from their faith and espousing atheism and paganism. I am reminded of the upper college class that I took that is trying to indoctrinate students to this wave of atheism and hedonism. This is happening all across America today, and I am seeing the impact everywhere. The future is ours to make. We are going to continue on a crash course like, are we going to continue on a crash course like Julian the Apostate with his agenda? Or will we lift high the cross and stand fast for the faith? Our freedoms and liberty are at stake. Heaven has given us a peace plan if we will follow it. We have the apostolic tradition and the Word of God. We have the sacraments. We have been given much. I am reminded of Joshua, who writes, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him completely and sincerely. Decide today whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 states, "In an acceptable time I heard you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And we're remembering today also Blessed Raphael Zelensky, whom Pope St. John Paul II quotes, "May Blessed Raphael remind us that every one of us, even though we are sinners, have been called to love and to holiness." Born on 8 January 1694 in Poland, Blessed Szalinski showed early signs of religious devotion. Family members nicknamed him the Little Monk. After completing studies at the Jesuit College, he joined the cavalry and was promoted to officer rank within 3 years. In 1712, he served in the Polish army and became an officer. In 1715, he left the army and moved to Krakow, where he joined the Franciscan Fathers as a cleric. He became a priest. On April 4, 1715, Raphael was baptized into the order and received the name Raphael. Excuse me. On April 26, 1715, he was professed. He was ordained to the priesthood in 1717. He traveled to monasteries and all throughout Poland, Warsaw, and Krakow. From 1728 to 1736, he served. He died there in the parish of Lodz on December the 2nd, 1742. In 1715, against the urgings of his military comrades, Blessed Szalinski joined the conventional Franciscans in Krakow, and there he received the name Raphael. After pastoral assignments in 9 cities, he was all over the place. He spent the last years, 13 years of his life, except for 20 months, ministering to flood and epidemic victims in Warsaw. In all these places, Raphael was known for his simple and candid sermons, for his generosity, as well as for his ministry in the confessional. And that is so important. I call the confessional the mercy seat of God. And that was where he spent much of his time. People of all levels of society were drawn to the self-sacrificing way he lived out his religious profession and priestly ministry. Raphael played the harp, the lute, and mandolin to accompany liturgical hymns. He distributed food and supplies and clothing to the poor. People of all levels of society were drawn to the self-sacrificing way he lived out his religious profession and priestly ministry. And Franciscan priest, preacher, apostle of charity, a musician, the sermons preached by Raphael were powerfully reinforced by the living sermon of his life. He led by example. The sacrament of reconciliation can help us bring our daily choices into harmony with our words about Jesus' influence in our lives. He honored the crucified Christ and his suffering, pain, and death at every Mass he celebrated. He often repeated, Oh, how good is God. We have a good Lord. After his death, the conventual church in that city became a place of pilgrimage for people throughout Poland. He was beatified in Warsaw in 1991. After pastoral assignments in 9 cities, he spent the last 13 years of his life there near Warsaw, except for 20 months ministering to flood and epidemic victims in Warsaw. During the beatification homily, Pope St. John Paul II said, "May Blessed Raphael remind us that every one of us, even though we are sinners, has been called to love and to holiness." The sermons preached by Raphael were powerfully reinforced by the living sermon of his life. And today, priests that are well, that do well, live out their faith through example and being a good example. And I think every parish that has Eucharistic adoration has good blessings, many blessings, which we are called to live the blessing. To live the blessing. And I'll be getting ready to go to the Christmas tree, St. Boniface and the Christmas tree.
Said the night went to the little lamb. Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star dancing in the night with a tail.
People, St. Boniface and the Christmas tree. Many people will begin putting up Christmas trees, which many have. And we put up our own little Christmas tree up, my wife and I. soon after Thanksgiving, and many of us can appreciate the imagination that it brings about year after year. Growing up in the late 1950s and through the 1960s, I remember at Christmas time the feelings of anticipation for Christmas. My mother would have a small nativity scene set up nearby the tree, which associated the tree with the Christ child. In those days, Christmas trees were mostly either cut down from the field or bought in town. It was always a lot of fun putting up Christmas trees, decorating them, and watching the wrapped gifts accumulate under the tree. The lights, the ornaments, the silver tinsels, the smell of the tree takes me back when my family would provide a meaningful Christmas. Christmas time was special throughout the country. I remember going into town, and you could see the lights on the light poles. Homes had outside lights and decorations. Stores and shops had Christmas advertisements. Santa Claus would arrive to give cheer and joy at the malls. I always looked forward to watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and It's a Wonderful Life and Miracle on 34th Street. All this added to the expectation for Christmas. I remember my mother taking me to midnight mass growing up. All of this was building a foundation for me that would help me in my faith in Christ. Because of Christmas, many people shared this faith-filled experience growing up. In the early 1980s, I first heard of those who did not celebrate Christmas. I was told that the Christmas tree was a pagan ritual. I thought that was the strangest thing I had ever heard. I always felt sorry for those who could not understand the experience in celebrating Christmas. My family always kept Christ in Christmas. Recently, I was challenged on the internet with this statement concerning paganism and the Christmas tree. As we all know, Jesus despised paganism, replacing pagan rituals and decorations with Christian meaning and celebration is not the answer. Christmas trees are pagan, etc., etc. So that's what I was being challenged. Jesus and the apostles honored the Jewish feasts, the laws the Father put in place and wanted honored. That's something we should pay attention to. It was the Roman Catholic Church, which I am a member of since birth, by the way, that chose to change the celebrations to distinguish Christian faith from Jewish faith. I don't think that was necessary or approved by our Lord. That's what this individual was trying to challenge me. But I won the day. Well, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1 through 5 states, "Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are false. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. Men deck it out with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it cannot move. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field, and they cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good." Well, that's what they came at me with. So I've been challenged by anti-Catholics with this scripture, as they believe this is about the Christmas tree. And there is no connection, zero connection between Jesus Christ, the one true God, and Asherah, who was worshipped as the tree of life. As a result of the Tower of Babel, mankind was forced to move on and into the world. In doing so, many of the foundations were carried down to legend. In the worship of this pagan goddess, Asherah, the tree of life was located in a garden. There is also a serpent that was considered sacred to many in the Middle East. It is obvious that this is based from the story of Adam and Eve. It is obviously modified to a pagan deity. King Solomon referred to Asherah as she who gives birth to the gods. I see counterfeit all over it. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Another hot, juicy subject of attack by anti-Catholics. Jesus is not related to any pagan goddess, nor is the Virgin Mary a Christianized Asherah. Exodus chapter 34, verses 12 and 13 states, "Take heed to yourselves, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither you go, lest it become a snare in the midst of you. You shall tear down their altars and break their pillars and cut down their asherim, for you shall worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and when they play the harlot after their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and one invites you, you eat of the sacrifice." And King Solomon allowed these gods to enter into Israel. 1 Kings chapter 14, 23 states, "For they also built for themselves high places and pillars and Asherim on high, every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations, which the Lord drove out before the people of Israel." 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 7 states, "And the graven image of Asherah that he had made, he set in the house in which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever." So it is clear that the Israelites worshipped these pagan deities and played the harlot. They made sacrifices to these false gods. This was what Jeremiah was writing about, and not the Christmas tree that is used to promote the story of Christmas. The worship of anything outside the one true God would be idol worship. They have tried to keep alive those traditions I was raised with for my family. That is more difficult with all the commercialism associated with Christmas. Growing up, you would start seeing Christmas advertisements after Thanksgiving today. I noticed such advertisements were popping up even around Halloween. Still, even with all the commercialism, families can still keep the true meaning of Christmas, as long as we can keep the liberals from trying to take Christmas out of the society. Our society recently has been embattled by those who attack Christmas. They have turned away from Christ and want to totally reduce Christmas to a secular holiday. In fact, you'll hear them say happy holidays or have, you know, the Merry Christmas. The return of ancient paganism and hedonism in our culture is attacking the very fabric of society, the family. And one of my heroes of the faith is Bishop Boniface, who was born in modern-day England in 672 AD. And from an early age developed a great love for Jesus Christ. He would become a missionary to the Germanic peoples who were still enslaved by paganism. Saint Boniface is remembered as the apostle of the Germans, and today is the patron saint of Germany. He was the first Archbishop of Mainz, the action of Saint Boniface in reaching the pagans centered in Germany at his time reminds me very much of Elijah challenging the prophets of Baal, 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 through 46. In a town called Gishmar stood a large oak tree that held much superstition surrounding it. The local people in the area called the tree the Donor Oak, the tree of Thor. When the Romans occupied the land, they called the tree the Jupiter tree. Thor and Jupiter were pagan gods of thunder. I am reminded of a song by a secular group known as Kiss. They had a song called God of Thunder, which says, I was born in Olympus to my father as son. I was raised by demons, trained to reign as the one God of Thunder and rock and roll. The spell you're under will slowly rob you of your virgin soul. I'm the Lord of the Wastelands, a modern-day man of steel. I gather darkness to please me. I command you to kneel before the God of Thunder and rock and roll. The spell you're under will slowly rob you of your virgin soul. That's coming from that song Kiss, but it's all based on this paganism, the return of paganism in our midst today. And St. Boniface began to challenge the people about the superstition of the donor tree, or the donor oak, and threatened to cut it down. He challenged the gods to strike him dead for cutting down the tree. St. Boniface had strong faith and reliance in Christ, and he began to cut the tree down. A great sign appeared among the people. A great wind erupted, causing the people to think this was a miraculous sign. The wind blew the tree down, leaving St. Boniface standing there totally unharmed. I can see him smiling at the event, thanking God for showing the people who the true God really is. People believed in Christ through the missionary work of St. Boniface. Many were being baptized and confirmed by the great Bishop of God. And St. Boniface would use the triangle-shaped fir tree to teach the doctrine of the Trinity, much like St. Patrick used the shamrock. He would hang the tree from the ceiling at Christmas to represent the people's faith in Christ. St. Boniface, his popularity and fame didn't protect him from those who thought they could rob him of gold and precious stones. He died at the hands of those who could not recognize the treasure found in the Word of God. But the people remembered this great man of God, and by the 12th century, the tradition of the fir tree was referred to by the people as God's tree. Martin Luther would expand on this tradition by adding candles, showing that the light of the candles shone through the darkness. Our modern-day Christmas lights are derived from this. Luther's intent here was to counteract the Catholic Church use of the nativity scene at Christmas and hoped the Christmas tree with lights would captivate the people. The people continued to love the nativity scene and the Christmas tree. For those of you who believe that the Catholic Church practices paganism using the Christmas tree, I disagree. I believe that the Christmas tree used in the tradition of the Church reminds us of Christ. He is the light of the world. Who thinks of Thor, Jupiter? No one. Certainly not the Christians. For those of you who want to see the Christmas tree as a holiday tree, you are allowing political correctness to run amok. I do not believe in Xmas. It is Christmas. And so here at Deeper Truth, we want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And so that is the story of the Christmas tree. And St. Boniface, And very similar to Saint Martin de Tours, because the people that that he encountered, pagans, had a, they were doing homage around a pine tree, and he wanted to cut it down. And the people agreed that they would cut it down if he would sit in the path of where the tree would fall. And he agreed. And so he sat down where the tree was shaping to fall. And at the moment when they had the axe that we were chopping it and it was about to fall, he does the sign of the cross. And with the sign of the cross, the tree goes the opposite direction and towards where the people were, you know, slow enough to where the people were able to get out of the way of that tree. So I just thought that was interesting about how St. Boniface and that donor tree and St. Martin de Tours and that pine tree, how the Lord was able to use those two examples or situations to show his glory. It's, you know, that's good. So, well, that is the story of the Christmas tree. And yes, there are those who feel, you know, who will attack the Catholic Church using ridiculous arguments. And so that's why it's important for us to be able to show how ridiculous their arguments really are. And so, and with that, the little drummer boy.
They told me our newborn king to see, our finest gifts we bring to lay before the king. This is to honor him. Baby Jesus, I am a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give a king. But may I play for you on my drum? The Mother Mary nodded, the ox and lamb kept time. I played my drum for him. I played my best for him. Then he smiled at me. Me and my drum.
May the Lord smile upon you this day. May he shine his glory upon you this day. May he enlighten your hearts to a deeper love for him in his presence. Go to Mass. Make the Mass the center of your life. Receive the sacraments, the Eucharist. Go to confession. And pray the rosary. Give Jesus the greatest gift that he says he thirsts. He really, really is calling us. He, you know, the greatest gift, Christmas present that you can give our Lord today is the gift of yourself. And he wants to be such an important role in your life, good, bad, and everything. He wants to be with you in everything. You know, so he is Lord. So God bless you all this day and Advent, the coming of the King. And he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And when you stand before him to face his justice, may his mercy abound in you, which is why I encourage you to go to confession, because there he bestows and you're given mercy, and he will honor that at that when you stand before his justice. So God bless you. I just hope and pray that our country, pray for America, and pray for the Catholic Church, and pray for families, the strengthening of families. And God bless you all, and good day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen.